I appreciate my little, this is the little Kinder Joy, little sweet cream top with cocoa wafer bits. Thank you. Whoever put that, thank you. Oh my goodness, it says, warning, choking hazard, small parts, not for children under three. I can't hold on to this. Would somebody keep this for me? there's a movie, it's an old movie with Cary Grant. That just triggered something about it. And it's called People Will Talk. You ever seen it? Anybody? People Will Talk. You've seen that movie. That is a neat movie. That does it have a big Christian story in it? No. But it's not ugly either. But it's a story of a doctor who's the kind of doctor we'd all want to know. And it's really neat. And people will talk in there, but there was that little thing about the three-year-old. And so I won't ruin it for you, but he and he and his father-in-law and his best friend at the university where he teaches medicine, they loved trains. You know, nobody, remember the old trains? And you had the train track set up in your house? The little trains, you know, model train, what do you call them? And so all three of them had an entire room in the doctor's house set aside for to run their trains. And they had these elaborate tracks all intertwined and all that. And his wife, there's a point there where, anyway, one was standing in each room and they had all these trains coordinated to pass, just barely cross and pass by each other. All three responsible for their train. And there one the signal to change tracks, whatever, was beep. Then another one had beep, beep, beep. Another one, beep, beep. And so they had sound at the right time so everybody would do their thing. Somebody got their beeps messed up and the train smashed. And anyway, they got into this huge argument. And his poor wife standing there watching these guys all upset over their train crash in the middle of the floor. And she's talking about all these troubles they're having, and there was another doctor who's jealous of this doctor who's trying to get the good doctor called in and done away with because he's better than the other doctor. So this is another plot that's going on at the same time. So his wife's all distraught about this, and she said, "We've all got this, and this Dr. Sons is doing this, and on top of that, I'm married to a 7-year-old." And I just thought, oh, that's classic. And that's, isn't it? I mean, and I thought, oh, I thought even at your age right now, that's probably what somebody would say about you, Tony, if that ever happened. They would say, a 7-year-old, you know, I still like my toys. I play with things. I'm looking at Terry. I don't know why I'm looking at you, but, you know, like you like toys too. Don't we like our toys? And I still do things. And it's like a 7-year-old, 12-year-old. I mean, it's not, you know, you don't want to be that emotionally, but in life. And I approach things. I mean, I still crawl under stuff. I still want to look in a hole. Why do you do that? I can't run like I used to. If you stick your head in something and something comes out, there was a time I could really run from it. And now I have to just lope from it. And I used to jump up in trees, cedar trees. And three times I've been treed by hogs, wild hogs. And I mean, run up a tree. They just and you know, you come between an old sow hog and her little pigs, and you don't know those little pigs are hidden over there. But you get in, she will come at you. And the first time it happened, I was out here on a place not far from here, and all of a sudden they make this woof 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 type of sound. You'd have to hear it to know what I'm saying. And I looked, and here she came. And all I had was just a cedar tree. You know, our cedar trees don't get that big in this part of the country. But I want you to know I was as far up as I could go in that tree without even thinking. But that's when I could really still run. And that old hog went around that tree a couple of times and then took off back with those pigs. And then out there where I live now, I've been treed. And I've jumped into cedar trees. And they will just chase you right up that tree. And if anybody that says these hogs won't do that, you're absolutely wrong. They will come at you. I had one that wouldn't leave. And I couldn't do anything with it. And that's when I could still draw my bow pretty good. And I had my bow with me. Well, I had to throw that bow down to grab both those little limbs and climb up in that tree. And so I have nothing. And there's a hog just going around that tree. And it's like, this is fun. You know, it's like you're scared at first. You get in the tree. And then it's like, this is adventure on the edge, man. This is it. The only thing now, it's like the next move would be to go to Kodiak Island up in Alaska and go and stalk the grizzlies, right? The big browns, and then get chased by them. And I thought, not at your age, son. I've come up with a plan, though, on how to get away from them. Okay, it's like, Tony, you know, I know the old joke, get somebody that's slower than you if you go into grizzly country and then you want to work. But I thought of something else, like in Prince William Sound, where they go hunt the bears and everything. Well, a lot of that is just snow covered. If you can't run, just go bail off the side of the mountain and just go rolling and sliding to the bottom. That's faster than running. And then it's like, and that bear can do the same thing. So, I don't know. Anyway, well, this is not the message, so let's go ahead. Yeah, take bigger toys, yeah. So this is, Lord, make this happen. A title is, Lord, make this happen. It's over in 1 Thessalonians. But actually, in telling these stories and sharing with you, friends, don't get old inside, whatever you do. Don't let life make you old. Don't let the world make you old. Don't let all this crud make you old. Okay? And the 1 Thessalonians, let me just read this real quick, and then we're going to just condense it and bring it into focus. But 1 Thessalonians says, beginning with verse 12, may the Lord make your love, and I, don't worry, I've hit on this before, realize you may have a note on it. A lot of these messages anymore, after all these years, you're going to hear some passages you've heard before, but in a different way. This is, I believe now, if I've got it added up right, I think now this is my 39th year. And so that's a long time doing this stuff. And it's like, I've just lost track of the notebooks full of messages and notes and teachings and stuff. But it says, may the Lord make your love increase and overflow for each other and for everyone else, just as he does for you. And may he strengthen your heart so that you will be blameless and holy in the presence of our God and Father when our Lord Jesus comes with all of his holy ones. What a prayer. And he's just saying, may the Lord make your love increase and overflow for each other and for everyone else. So the first point on this thing is, you know, it's just, Lord, make this happen. Make what happen? The first thing he says in here, Lord, increase our love. Increase it to overflowing. This may seem minor, but this is a huge thing. Let me say something. In all my life, and all the things that I've been through as a Christian, I have never, ever been in a time, not in my life, in all the adventures, I've not been in a time when it is so hard to keep love generating. To let the Holy Spirit keep love effective in my heart. And if we're honest, probably a lot of us are having this problem. Christians everywhere. It's hard to be, right now, it is just hard to be loving. And I want you to know, and I don't have any accident ground with anyone, but I know that every time I open my mouth, I'm going to tick somebody off. Okay? I can't speak. Here's where I feel that I'm. Here's the wedge where I'm at. When in preaching, not so much, but no, there's other issues that tie into this life. And I have people that say to me, why don't you just preach? And it's like, and why don't you quit telling me how to live my life? I've got just as much right, even though I do this job, to speak to what I believe is the truth as a person on the other side of the fence who's trying to tell me what their version of truth is. And I've kept my mouth shut for so many years and, you know, and been whipped about. And I decided, you know, about a year ago, I'm not going to do that anymore. I'm tired of everybody else being able to tell me what they think, and I have to take it and walk away like the mild little. And I said, you know what? You have a position up here of trust and integrity. And I know that everybody's not going to agree with everything I say. Well, I don't agree with everything else everybody else says either. And so I'm saying this to say for all of you, you're going to have to learn that in life. And don't let it stop you. I don't like being told that I can't have my say on things and I'm not allowed to look at it from a different perspective. Isn't it amazing that there's a certain group and opinion out there, if you don't agree with them, then you're out of line and you're wrong. You need to be quiet. And it's like, well, who said you were God? Who made all of you right? I think we all need to agree that none of us know the total truth, and we're just got to do the best we can with where we stand and be tolerant. That's where this love thing comes in. I don't have to agree with you on everything to love you. And don't get that confused. I mean, I don't have to like the clothes you wear or the things maybe that dangle from parts of your face. Okay? I don't have to like the vehicle you drive. I mean, I don't. And you don't have to like the things, the clothes I wear and the vehicle I drive or anything. I don't have to like a lot of things, but I do have to love you. And we don't have to agree on all that. You know what we're to agree on? That Jesus Christ is the way, the truth, and the life. Yeah. And no one comes to the Father except through Him. A bunch of other stuff, we're not going to agree on. It's nice to find somebody that's pretty much in agreement with where you are. But see, don't get this love thing confused with, I have to agree with everybody. I have to just, you know, we all got to. Now, we're being taught this tolerance thing. Love is not tolerance. And where did we ever get this concept? In many churches, I hear this from Christians. Well, now we're to be tolerant. And no, we're not. We're to be love the Lord with all of our heart, soul, mind, and strength. And we're to love each other and our neighbors, ourselves. And I'm to love a person enough to speak the truth to them, even if I know it might hurt their feelings, to save their soul and to save their life. I'm not to be tolerant. I'm to be patient and let God work His work. But I can't be tolerant towards sin, and you can't either. And if you say, well, but tolerant as far as patient with people and gentle and kind and merciful to people and forgiving, absolutely. But that's not what the world means now by tolerance. It means no, accept whatever we shovel out, even if it violates God's word. And I'm telling you today, in love for God, I can't do that. Neither can you. So when he prays here, let this love abound, the more I love, the more I have to take a stand for the truth of the one that I love, and that's God. Think about it. You know, and I've always heard these messages on love, and it sounds so, you know, warm and fuzzy and all this kind of stuff. And it's like, well, look at the love Jesus had. Did he ever let a Pharisee walk out of his presence without putting them in their place? And he didn't call them a name, but he told them the truth. Didn't he? He even called them hypocrites. To their face. Snakes. Thank you. Yeah. And he's saying, that's Jesus. You know, I'm not going to go around calling everybody snakes. I do not like snakes. And I overheard a piece of that a while ago, earlier before church, telling on me about snakes. But no, I don't like snakes. And if I hear, if I'm around any snake and I hear any kind of a little buzz, clatter, clink, anything that makes me think there's something attached to the end of that snake, I particularly don't like snakes. So just know that. I've got I call it a buckeye bush. Anybody ever seen a buckeye? They're a little cluster and it's a pod, it's pods, three pods, and there's these little black bead looking things in each pod. If you're not careful and you're standing by that bush out there and a big gust of wind comes through, those beads hit the sides of those dried pods and it goes just like a rattlesnake. I have flown away from that thing I don't know how many times, and it's like, I'm going to cut that thing down. If it wasn't such a pretty tree when it's green, but oh my goodness. Anyway, back to this. He's praying that our love increased to overflowing. And when your love increases to overflowing, you're going to have a lot of forgiveness for people, a lot of understanding, a lot of patience as your love increases, but you'll have less tolerance. Listen to me. As your love increases, you'll have less tolerance for the things that, first of all, are a sin against God, and secondly, that people are doing to cause themselves personal destruction. Now, this is an aspect of this that I have not presented to you before, because God hadn't put it on my heart so strong to say, Tony, my love is not just letting things go by. My love means you have to stand for the truth, and sometimes you've got to sit down with someone and say, what are you doing? You're killing yourself. You're hurting other people. You're judging people. You're accusing people. You're doing mean things. You're hurting yourself in your relationship with God. What are you thinking? And we're not to do that mean. The scripture says speak the truth, what? In love. But speak the truth and do it lovingly. And so, you know, we pray, God, increase our love. It means, yes, God, increase my thankfulness to you and my gratefulness and my excitement of becoming and being a Christian, of wanting to do for others. But it also means, God, the more I love you, the more I'm going to stand for what you, God, believe, what you say in your script. Everybody follow me here? I mean, if you really, truly love someone, you stand by them and you stand by what they stand for. Well, I truly love God, and you do too. And as we pray, you let this sink in. God, increase my love and let it overflow. That means I have to more truly stand for what you are, God, who you are, and what you say. Or else, my whole thing about love is a pretense. So much of what we hear in love, and friends, listen to me. I know last week was quite a counseling message, but this week I'm trying to lean away from that a little bit. But listen to me. You know, when you say to someone, people all the time in relationships, you know, I love you. What they don't say is, I love you as long as you do what pleases me. As long as you say the words I want you to say and follow my rules and do what I say makes me happy. Truly, I counter it all the time. And God says, that stuff needs to be presented to me, repented, get it out. That's what God, you know, God's saying, get that junk out of your life. If you love someone, you love them for who they are in Christ, not what they do for you. You love them because God's brought you together. Friends, I'm talking not just marriage, but friends, church, in a church relationship. God has brought us together. We're to love each other, not because we say and do everything that makes each other just totally happy, but because we're fellow believers, we're God's children, we're God's family. We love each other because we're committed to God, and that causes us to be committed to each other. And some of us will act like 7-year-olds at times. And 12-year-olds. And then once in a while, we're just going to get all ornery and act like we're 100 years old. We do, don't we? Sometimes we just get so cranky and grouchy and... And God says, and in spite of all of that, because He loves us no matter what, we're to love Him and love each other no matter what. Not in tolerance, but in relationship, in fellowship. Yeah, I love you, Lord. I'm thankful for your forgiveness and making me a Christian and put in my heart to do for others. And you say, is that love? No, love goes a lot further than that. Love is a commitment. And love says, I'm not going to love you, Lord, because of what I can get out of you. I love you, Lord, for who you are. I love you, Lord, for what you've already done. If there's any being, ever, any being, and that's proven their absolute love for you and me, it's God. Who can prove their love to send their own son to the cross to die for people who don't even respect him. Most of those out there cared less. The Pharisees and most of the Jewish nation wanted rid of him. There were a few. And yet he's on that cross, and those Roman soldiers mocking and doing all they've done to him. What did he say? Father, forgive them. They don't know what they're doing. They don't know what to do. And that's love. So you get the idea. I won't harp on it. There's just want to say this and move to the next point. One thing that you can't rely on, and listen to me, don't ever rely on yesterday's love. You make it fresh today. You make it fresh today. Paul, the Holy Spirit used Paul to write this, to pray this prayer. It wasn't because that the Thessalonians didn't have love. It's because that love must be kept growing. So many Christians start out and they're in love with the Lord. It's fresh, it's clean, it's good. They're so excited, just like a marriage, right? You get married to someone and you're, oh, it's so clean, exciting, and then you start finding out they snore. You start finding out that maybe, you know, they have that thing that you never dreamed that person would have, and it's every time they take their socks off, you have to run out of the room. You start finding that they don't know what a clothes hamper is and never will figure it out. For a lot of people, a clothes hamper is where you're standing. And you start finding out all this weird stuff. It's amazing to think, I mean, I've had people fighting over stuff. Here's one of the things. This is a common occurring theme I have to hear. And I say, what is it you two are aggravated about? You're not really mad, but you're aggravated. What's wrong? And here it is. He or she keeps pulling the cover off of me at night. I wake up and I'm freezing because they've wrapped up in all the cover. And it's like, yeah, it's like, well, why don't we just kill them then? And they start laughing, you know. It's like, seriously? This is their issue? Give the cover to them. Get you another blanket and say, look, this is fine. It's yours. You can have it. You're making an issue over nothing. But all these things, right? And some are pillow stealers and some are kickers. I have people saying, I can't sleep at night because he kicked me. So what's Tony's counseling response? Kick him back. No, not really. Friends, listen. And so what happens after a while? We build up this animosity. We get a resentment. We start disliking. We start finding something wrong with this person because of something like that. And they're just who they are. Okay, so they don't put all their clothes in the hamper. Or they take all the cover at night. God is just looking at us and saying, who cares? Who cares? I know it's an annoyance, it's an aggravation, but you're never going to change them. Only I can change them. Let me change them. If you keep trying to change someone, you know what's going to happen. They're just going to get more stubborn and resistant. Or am I just talking to another church here? We all know this, don't we? The more we're pushed, the more we're... At four years old, I got a boy. And when my mom in one of our more lucid moments, and all she used to tell me this story, and I've shared it a long time ago, but she said, 4 years old. 4 years old, she said, no telling what I was doing. And she said, I got after you and I told you, you do that again, I'm going to whip you. And she said, you spun around on me and put your hands on your hips and said, no woman's telling me what to do. And she said, you were 4 years old. And I said, Mom, what'd you do? She said, I grabbed you and I beat your little... No, I didn't say that again. No, but isn't that amazing? I mean, 4 years old? And it's like, and some of you would say, yeah, we've known you about 30 years and you haven't changed either, bud. And it's not just women. I don't know why I said that to her, but I did. I could just see myself. Can't you? you know me enough to say, yeah, I can see you doing that. And we can also see you getting beat. She said, I beat you, you know. And no, I didn't say that anymore. And by the way, that's the thing to do, and a lot of parents should have done that a long time ago, is when that first comes out right there, you don't sit down and talk to them. You grab that rod and you whack their hiney really good and you stop it right there or it's just going to get worse. And that's what's a whole lot of what's wrong in this country, but that's another issue. Let's talk about this love thing. I don't want to get off of that. So let your love keep growing. It's the same way with water. Love is like water in this way. You let water keep flowing into a little pond and then that pond doesn't have an outflow. All of a sudden, what do you have? Algae, moss. Water gets nasty, it gets stagnant. Somewhere along the line, you're going to have an outflow of water and you got to have that fresh water emptying out all that stuff. Love's the same way. When we're saved, we ask Jesus in our heart. He fills our hearts with love. The problem is a lot of Christians want to just keep that. That's good enough for me. And they don't do anything to increase that love. Don't pray for that love to abound. And what happens? It grows stagnant and it gets a little algae in it, little moss, and it gets kind of stinky. And it's not the original love we started with. And so, friends, I would challenge you, and with all the events in this world and the stuff going on around us, don't let your bitterness, don't let what you feel personally about anything, stuff I'm going to say things, and whatever it is, don't let it keep you from your first love, which is Jesus Christ. And you keep that water flowing and you keep praying, God, no matter what happens in this world, no matter what people say or do around me or don't say or do, I am going to be filled with your Spirit and receive your overflowing love. Secondly, God make this happen. What's the second thing you said, make happen? God increase our strength. And what? The strength of our hearts. So that we can be blameless and holy. And God, strengthen your hearts so you be blameless and holy in the presence of our God. Now, I want to say something to you right here. Let me give you this definition. You've had it many times. I'll give it again. I always do. Holy is that word, which means that they use here in the Greek, means separated to God. You're separated to God for God. That's what it means. And blameless means you're covered in the blood of Jesus and you're not held accountable. You're not judged and held accountable for your sins because Jesus took them to the cross. Everybody with me here? We know we do stuff to be blamed for every day, but Jesus' blood atones for that. But then I pray, God, strengthen my heart. Make me strong in love. Make me strong in my heart right here. So that I'm blameless and holy. Now, let me give this to you, and don't. This is almost. If I say, I know saying this, it's like we all of us are going to say, "Well, I don't want that." But when I pray for love, God, help me to be filled with your love, and keep me holy, separated unto you, and blameless. I will guarantee you that when you pray those prayers, God will allow the challenges in life to come straight at you. He will. He will allow it so that you get an opportunity to grow in the very thing you're talking about. You don't grow until the opportunity is there to test you to grow. Everybody with me? So when I say to God, strengthen my heart, make me strong in love, He's going to give me an opportunity to practice that very thing because a very unloving situation is about to arise. And God, keep me holy. Separated to you, and there you are, and you're flipping across. You're going from channel surfing all over the place, and boom, there it is. And what you're looking at is not holy, and you'll be tested right there. And that happens all the time to everybody. So when you pray for this, don't be shocked at the testing that God allows to grow you up in this. You pray, God, help me to love people more. He'll sure give you the chance. Listen to me. But when you pass that test, when you really get in there and you struggle with it, and you love them in spite of their anger and their meanness and whatever, their accusations and their judgment, whatever. that love's going to come back to you. It said, give and it'll be given unto you. Pressed down, run over without measure. That's more than money. That's everything in life. And so you keep giving love, you'll get love. And it won't always be bad things. Listen to me. You're not going to get a lot of love in your life till you give it. And you're going to have to give it to people that don't deserve it. Christians, listen, we're here to love people who don't deserve loving. Now, that doesn't mean we let them walk on us. That's another misnomer. Don't get this out of your head. Loving somebody doesn't mean I lie down and say, step on me. Loving somebody says, if you're hungry, I'll feed you. I'll give you something to drink. I'll pray for you. I'll even come over. And what are you? You got something broken? I'll fix it. But you will not talk to me that way again. You will not abuse me anymore. You see what I'm saying? I have to tell this to people. You know, well, if I love him or I love her, then I got to be willing to put up with it. And it's like bull. Where does it say that scripture? Your body is God's temple. And he didn't put you here to be abused by somebody. But love means, yes, they have a need. I'll meet it. Or God used me to do this or that, but I'm not going to lie down. I'm not going to take that abuse. You're not going to say those things to me anymore. You're not going to hit me. I have to tell people, love means you don't let people hit you. These are hard things to think about because we have this concept that's been thrown at us that love is just being, well, okay, I got to take this for the Lord. Seriously? Where does it say that? Wow. No, man. Love means that I'll feed you. I'll give you water. You know, just like you said. I'll heap burning coals on your head doing all that. If you got something broke, you say you need help with your car, okay. But you stand there cussing me while I'm doing it, I'm going to tell you, you want this car fixed? You're not going to do that to me while I'm doing it. Everybody with me? That's the way it works. This is shooting from just straight from the heart. This is gut level stuff. This is how to do it. Put it into practice stuff. A lot of the early years of my ministry, there was stuff that happened to me, and I just took it because I didn't know what else to do. I didn't understand yet that, hey, love means I got to take care of this body that God gave me. It's his temple. I got to take care of the mind that God. I don't need those cuss words in my mind. I don't need that ugly stuff put in my so I can replay it. You with me? I'm responsible. Love also means that if I see somebody doing that to you, I have a responsibility to try to do something about it. Okay. Blameless without blame just means I'm holy, I'm covered in the blood of Jesus. By the way, when love is prevailing in my life, when love is really prominent, it's the thing. It's amazing how selfishness and unethical treatment of other people and a whole lot of that temper and a bunch of the bad words just seem to not be there as much anymore. It's harder for them to come out when love is dominant in my life. Well, I need to close. Let me close this real quick on this third point. I want to give you God's ways to make all this happen. Some insights here. I've been giving you some practical stuff, but let me give you God's ways to make it happen. To for your love to increase and overflow, increase our love, increase our strength, the strength of heart, and be holy and blameless. First of all, remember where you came from. Remember where you've come from. I'm trying to figure out, I've worked on this already, trying to figure out. Let me say this. I found and we all know this, but this is the strangest, amazing phenomenon I've ever seen, but we all know it's real. And I'll ask in the form of a question. It's rhetorical, but you already know. Why is it that the people who are the most guilty of things in their lives will be the first to point the finger at a slight in someone else? They're forgetting where they came from. They're forgetting that Jesus Christ came into their life and forgave them. The problem is they probably won't accept his forgiveness. That's another message somewhere out there on accepting God's love and accepting his forgiveness. that I found that the people usually the quickest to judge another person are the ones most guilty of that same offense themselves. Or maybe it's like one guy said, and it's like, why are you so down on so-and-so for this, some little, and it's like, because I deep down, and you, and I've never forgotten it, but it's true. And what was the response? And this was a real honest answer. Why are you so down on them and judging them so harshly for that? And they were so mad they told the truth. You ever been so mad you told the truth? And then you think, why didn't I lie? It's too late now. But you know what he said? Because I want to do that and I can't do it. I said, there you go. You want to commit that sin and you can't do it. So you're mad at them that they can get away with it. Yeah. And it's just the harshest judges and critics are those who have so much to hide themselves and they forget. So listen to me. Listen to God, not me. This is what God's saying here. Remember where you've come from. Remember what God's forgiven all of us for. All the acts, all the words, all the stupid moments and all the deliberate moments. The unintentional sins and the real intentional sins. People don't want to remember where they came from. Meaning, look at what God has forgiven me for. How dare me go after someone else. Secondly, renew your relationship. Like, couples need to renew their vows every once in a while. You know, you don't have to always do it formally, but renew your vows. Well, you need to renew your relationship with God and get out alone with the Lord and with His Word and ask Him, God, I just need to be renewed. I need You to restore the joy of my salvation in my heart. How long has it been since anybody prayed? I mean, Lord, restore to me the joy of my salvation. Now, you'll find that in the Psalms. Pray those kind of prayers. Search my heart and know me. That's another Psalm. And reveal to me, Lord, any unclean thing. Ask God, is there something in my heart, my mind, that I don't even know? I don't even realize. I'm so used to it. I'm just accepting it, and it may be something you want me to do away with. Fall in love with God again. Just let yourself fall in love with Him again. Look how great He is. How much you admire Him. How much you want to worship Him. How much you love Him. Just fall in love with Him again. I'll tell you this. If people can't love God, they're sure not going to be able to love anybody else. He didn't criticize. He didn't pick on us. He didn't do anything that, I mean, God, and yet, you just take that to heart. If they can't love God, then they sure can't love me. He's perfect. And I look at myself and think, oh, Lord. If they don't love the Lord, they're not going to make it with Tony. You know, I still do 7-year-old things. Does anybody else ever do that, by the way? Or not? Maybe I just want company. Any 7-year-olds every once in a while in this place? Yeah? Yeah? Thank you. Oh, okay. Not just guys. We all do, don't we? Just silly things. Just doing dumb stuff. I don't know why. There's something else with all this. You got to want it. I think that's a big problem right there. We hear it and say, that's nice. For all this to happen, you have to want it to happen. I tell people, and I say it in all my relationships with people, if you want that relationship to grow and be a worthy relationship, whether it's a friendship, whether it's a whatever, a business relationship or marriage relationship, you have to want it to be a relationship. You have to want it, which means you desire it and you pray for it and you go out and work for it. Love's work. Having a relationship is work. Sometimes, for me to keep in fellowship with God, it's work. You say, how's that? Because I have to really work at being honest with God, don't you? I have to work at not blaming somebody else for my mistakes, my temper, my upsets. It's just so easy to say, they made me do it. Yeah, right. So, surrender. Just give God your unforgiveness. Don't allow unforgiveness and bitterness in your life. Let God deal with your issues and your problems. Can I say this in closing? Let God deal with your problem, people. Let Him deal with it. There's just times to say, God, I'm messing this up more than I'm helping it. You deal with it. See anything else? No, I think we better close. I think this is enough hits for today. It's even making me feel bad. I studied this and wrote it, and I'm just hearing it out loud for myself, and it's like, I just want to say for this. I want to say for this. Wow, that's some, that works. I want to say this for God. God, we love you. We want you to deal with it. Increase our love. God, really increase our love. Don't let anything distract us from loving you, Lord. We're asking you today, Father, that you love us. That you put in our hearts forgiveness. And we know you forgive us, but put in our hearts the forgiveness for other people, Lord. God, make us blameless. We are blameless, but help us realize we're blameless before you because Jesus took the blame. Keep us reminded that we're holy, set apart to you. We're cleansed by the blood of the Lamb, the Lord Jesus Christ. God, keep in our minds that as we walk out of this place here in a moment and we go out to do whatever it is you want us to do today, tomorrow, we're going to face the opportunity to practice this stuff. We'll turn on the news, we'll hear something, we'll read something, and or somebody like me will say something and it'll just upset us. God, help us to keep in mind that's not what it's all about. It's all about you. It always has been and always will be. And Father, mold our hearts, conform our minds, protect our bodies, keep us all focused on you, in you, and through you, and all about you. God, increase our love to overflowing. Strengthen our hearts in holiness and blameless. God, make this happen. God, let it happen. Bind the devil from us and free us from all this worldly, nasty stuff, from our past, from our present, that we can look forward to the future and be one in you. In Jesus' name, amen. God bless you for being here.